streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is July 25th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Mr. Kevon Gully. He's the author of Just Like Compton and now the producer of the movie that will be coming out real soon, Just Like Compton. Kevon says that he grew up in Compton. Both of his parents were on drugs. He was raised pretty much by his grandmother, and she tried to steer him in the right direction, but he just wouldn't listen to her. After she died, he landed in the foster care system. And after that, all the other systems soon followed. Kevin says that he admits feeling that he has rejection issues after being left to fend for himself at a young age of 10 in the Watts Imperial Court while his mom was addicted to heroin. The middle of three children, Kevon was left alone for almost 3 months after his brother and sister were taken by their relatives to be cared for. That feeling soon faded when his grandmother passed away and he became a ward of the state of California, being placed in numerous group homes and foster homes until he was finally emancipated. As a former Centennial High School student, Kevon was sentenced to 10 years as a juvenile in California's Youth Authority for carjacking and kidnapping. When he was released in 2000, he once again tried to get his life together by taking some classes at Santa Monica College and working at Anarco in Victorville. But just 3 years later, he found himself facing 150 years that would eventually plead down to 8 years because of all his crimes to date had been as a juvenile. Having spent the majority of his youth behind bars, he had two strikes as a juvenile and got nailed on the third three strikes case. He hit rock bottom, or his rock bottom was hearing the judge tell him that he planned to sentence him to 150 years in prison with no plea bargain. The opportunity for Kevon came for him to write when he and some friends had a disagreement with the correctional officers, and because of the disagreement, he was ordered to go to the hole, which is also called administration segregation. He chose to write the personal stories of living his life in Los Angeles, his hood, Compton. So just before we bring on Kevon, let me go ahead and welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody for always tuning in every Wednesday night to our radio show. And we give people a platform to tell their message, their story, and, you know, reach other people with their message, because the bottom line is that you can always learn from someone else's mistakes and do something righteous in your own life. So without further ado, we'll pass the mic over to the young man, and he will formally introduce himself.
Hello, world. I'm Kevon Gully, author of the book Just Like Compton, and I'm pleased to be here with Boyd and Lucinda trying to do something positive.
My man. So we just going to get right to it. We'd just like for you to explain to the viewers how did all this rage and things started in your life, and we'll go back to your childhood.
Well, I got some abandonment issues because I was abandoned by my mother. You know, she kind of disappeared. You know, I came home from school one day, she was gone. And, you know, she had some disappearing bouts before where she had vanished and didn't come back, so I wasn't really tripping, you know, 2 days, 3 days here. I wasn't really tripping, and then I looked up, and it was about a month, and she wasn't coming back. You know? So that's where, I guess, me growing up too fast began. Before, I was a regular kid. I was a mama's boy.
Right. And when your mistress broke in, that's when you got involved with the streets and gangs and different things like that?
Oh, no. At that time, I was still pretty much innocent. You know, at 10 years old. I just started banging until 89. So between I was like 10 years old at that time. So I was just, you know, kind of like scarred. Like, man, really, she just vanished? Like, you know, that's how people do things. And I began to fend for myself, you know. So that's when I started growing up. I didn't start banging. You know, I didn't get involved in the streets. I mean, I was, like, stealing little stuff to eat and stealing clean clothes and stuff like that, but I wasn't really out there in the streets just yet.
Okay, dig that. It started progressing, though, at that age. You know, the attitude started changing towards that direction.
Oh, yeah.
The ordinary guy.
I became focused, you know, at that age, you know what, it's just me out here, so I'm going to do what I need to do.
Right.
So I developed that that effort attitude, you know?
Right. Yeah, so without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic over to my missus and let her take it over from here for a few.
Okay, thanks. Kevon, at what point, I know you were left alone for approximately 3 months. Was that at this point in your life when your mom left you?
Yeah. I think she went to jail or something.
Okay.
So me and my brother and my sister were there alone, you know, sleeping on dirty clothes and no hot water, no lights, no nothing.
Wow. And at what point did an adult step in and see that something was wrong or mom and dad weren't there?
Oh, nah, that didn't come till later on. What happened was we all had different fathers, me, my brother, and my sister. So my brother's dad came and got him right away when he heard about what happened. So he came and got him. And then my great aunt came and got my sister. And they knew I was there, but nobody came and got me. So I stayed there. That's where the three-month thing took place.
Wow, that must have been hard at 10 years old to be there alone and try to fend for yourself and...
That's why I know where I am. People think I'm just naturally mean, but there's a reason for the season, like they say. And I'm the way I am for a reason. You know, people are like, "Oh, you're mean," or you know, if you knew what I've been through and the scars that I had buried under my heart, then you would understand.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, but just nobody. This is actually the first time I actually talked about it.
Wow.
Well, we appreciate you bringing it
back. You know, I mentioned it, but never in depth like this.
Right.
Well, we appreciate you bringing it out, and not only, like you said, to help yourself heal from the inside and out, order to help others too, because you're not the Lone Ranger. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're not the only one.
That's therapeutic, bro. I know somebody out there
here,
you know, so we're doing a good job.
Right. And we appreciate that, you know what I mean, that you is willing to share that. So that's a blessing by itself.
Yes, sir.
Well, we know that, you know, you're definitely not alone, and your story will touch a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of kids that have gone through and are still going through and will go through things that you went through. We know that drugs back in the 80s and 90s were probably maybe a little worse than they are now, you know, with the crack epidemic and all of that. But, you know, we know that there's kids out there that are fending for themselves. There's kids out there that are looking for food in garbage cans and trying to find, you know, clothes and heat and warmth. And a lot of times, you know, maybe they end up, you know, like you said, turning to the streets eventually because you've got to have somebody out there to help you feel like you're a part of something and help you feel
that
you're loved.
That's definitely
what's
where they're
that?
Going. No doubt about it. They're definitely going to the streets. You know, because there's going to be somebody that's going to be nice to them. And a lot of time that somebody is Big T-Bone or Bo Rock or somebody that's in the gang already.
Right.
That needs another friend with.
Yeah, the first person that gave me some McDonald's, I'm going to latch on to. That's what I'm trying to, that's
exactly.
when I speak at symposiums and I speak at all those little foster home things and the social worker stuff, that's what I tell them. The first person that's nice to this little boy, that's who he's going to latch on to.
Exactly.
Right. They ain't going to worry about what you're saying down the street because
no,
you ain't giving them nothing to eat.
No, none of that ain't going to matter.
No.
I mean, it's either going to be the priest, the pastor, or it's going to be T-Bone. A lot of times, T-Bone.
Bottom line. Right,
you know,
all the time,
exactly.
Majority of the time.
Right. So now little Ralphie has become little T-Bone.
Bottom line.
You know what I'm saying? And then Big T-Bone gonna give him a gun and a rag, and then, you know, it goes sour from there.
Right,
exactly.
It's over.
Because Big T-Bone don't really love him. He's just using him.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But that hug and that dapping him and that McDonald's and that ride to school, that means something to a little boy.
Exactly.
You're off the top. That's his man now.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see the ulterior motives. You're a kid.
Right. You just know that's my man. I ain't getting nothing to eat. What else? He giving me $2. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
I ain't even made it up to 10 yet, but I got $2. I can go to McDonald's, you know what I mean, and get a sandwich. I'm good.
Right,
and
man. And
I
ain't going no
talk with him. Right.
Hey,
and he got me hanging at the park with him.
Exactly. Yeah, man, come to the park with me. Hang out with me while I sell this dope. Matter of fact, you hold
this
dope. You hold this dope. You like this gun,
right.
Huh?
And you sit
hold
on
this.
The bench. Right.
Right.
Sit right over there.
Hold
wait on me.
Yeah, you young. You ain't going to go to jail. So you hold this dope and this gun.
Right. Now, here goes some McDonald's. I'll be back a little later.
Right. Just have all my money.
Right. Now we trust him to leave him by himself now.
See what I'm saying? And then it goes south from there because Johnny Law coming.
Every few minutes. You know, you can't hold up the corner no more thinking that's going to be the spot and that's the 24-hour drive through. Them days over with.
No, sir, yes. Things have changed, man. So that's what I'm trying to explain.
Yes, indeed.
You can't learn that at USC and UCLA. You got to get out here and get dirty.
Yeah, to know all them adventures.
Exactly.
So back to you, sweetie.
So at what point was it that you got put in the juvenile detention center? And
I
what,
got my first, gun, I got my first gun
that.
Case at 12. My first gun case was at 12 years old. I had become poisoned by 11. So by 12, I was already infatuated with the streets. And, you know, 89, 90, that's when the streets were still wild. That's when, you know, colors and, you know, all
right.
Killing was going. So you had to have a gun. They said you rather get caught with it than caught without it. So I was one of them at 12.
Right, all day.
You know what I'm saying? So I got my little Deuce 5, my little 25, little semi-automatic, and, you know, sitting in a placement, cocking it in my sleep, and got caught with it.
Right. And had to pay the price.
Yes, sir. But first case, you know, they let me out. Gun, you know, possession of a firearm ain't no big deal out here. They just give you a year probation and let you go. So I was like, oh, that's it?
For a minute.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, oh, that's it? That's it? You just got to go to these little classes for 90 days and I can go get another gun? Oh, I can do that. So, you know, after that, it was
right.
Tech 9s and 4-5s and Uzis and some more stuff because now they can't do nothing to me. I'm a kid. I can figure the system out. All right, they're going to let me go. Call your
bottom
sister. Come get you. Call your mama, come get you. Call your auntie, come get you. Whoever you're living with, your guardian. You know? Now all they got to do is make sure you go to court.
Right. Now, what did you learn from all of that? And let the viewers know and the youth know, what did you learn from all that back and forth eventually with that crime?
The streets is a lie. I mean, you say the streets don't love you back. That's a hell of a line, but my line is the streets is a lie. T-Bone don't love you. You going to jail. And then after a while, you get poisoned like me. I kind of like started digging jail. I'm like, okay, it's 3 meals here. You could sleep. You can work out a lot of rules, but okay, I listen to the rules. And so I didn't mind going to jail. So I started going back and forth. And then eventually, I was 17. I did a big crime, and they gave me a whole bunch of time.
Right.
But I still wasn't tired. Because the homies
right.
was in there. We was in there deep. So I'm like, ooh, I could do this. So then
right.
I got
I'm
out.
With the family.
Right, you know what I'm saying? These are the same dudes I went to junior high with. So I'm like, all right, this is cool right here. You know? So anyway, long story short story over, the bottom line for the kids that's listening is you got to be tired. You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, or the cycle won't continue. And straight up.
And that's the...
Go ahead.
Now, you go ahead, my brother.
I was living a godless life. Let's get that out the way. I used to say, I don't go in God's house and God don't come in mine. I used to say that. And then I saw God's power in 2000. God meaning Allah, Buddha, whoever you believe in, that's fine. But there is somebody bigger than you.
Amen. All day.
When I that judge told me 150 years and was serious, and I sat in court 22 months waiting on the strike law to change, and it didn't change, I knew God was real.
Amen.
And what led you to that last case that gave you that was going to give you the 150 years? What happened?
Various bank crimes, without going into details, various bank crimes, going in banks and acting stupid.
Go ahead, huh?
I was just going to say, so that was strike three. You're in jail waiting for that 150-year sentence.
Nah, the way they do it is California voters are retarded. And I'm sorry to say that, but they're retarded. And here's what I mean. They don't read the fine print. I only been to jail and got convicted one time, and that was for my juvenile case. They gave me two strikes on that case and didn't tell me. So when I went back to jail, I had two strikes. But I thought, I'm like, nah, you got to do two different crimes to get two different strikes. They were like, nah, you got two strikeable offenses on this one case. So what we're going to do is we're going to separate them and make them a strike apiece.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up with two strikes. I don't have two strikes.
They
played the word game with me. And because I was young, I didn't know no better. Juveniles don't even have to sign for a plea bargain. They just give you your time and tell you, you agree, yeah, and they let you go on about your business. So I didn't even sign that. But the whole time I'm running around acting stupid, when I got back out, I had two strikes and didn't even know it.
Right. Wow. And the system isn't there to help you get ahead,
that's for sure. They're there to knock you down and tear you apart.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nobody, well, I don't know about now, but when I was going to jail, there was nobody to tell you, oh, no, this is the way things go. Like the public pretenders, they're not there to help you. You're just on the caseload.
Right.
You know, take this deal. That's their thing. Take this deal.
Bottom line, you know, and I hope the youngsters out here listening to that and older people as well, because it's real out here. And when you don't know exactly what's going on in the system and you out here committing these crimes, you really got to know the law in that state where you're committing all these crimes. Like, because if you don't, it's a misunderstanding.
The way they work with voters is they have what's called the piggyback bills. And what that is that they'll have a bill, save the children, give them clean water and free lunches. But under that, in the fine print, it says, and vote on the second strike law, which means if a person gets caught for a second time, they do 80% of their time. That's what's called in the system. But you voted on save the children. You didn't pay attention to the rest of the stuff.
Right.
So they piggyback.
Bottom line.
Go ahead.
So you were 17 when you got this conviction.
The first one, yeah.
The strike three, the 150 years?
Nah, I went back and they gave me the 8 years. But I already had two strikes on the 17-year-old case, the juvenile case, they gave me two strikes.
Right.
But I didn't know I had two strikes. So when I went back the second time, they were like, oh, by the way, you have two strikes. I'm like, no, I don't. They're like, yeah, you do. And that's how I ended up saying, you know what, they're going to max me out. They're going to give me 150 years of life. I'm never getting out of jail. I'm a dying person.
Wow.
Imagine telling to a 23-year-old dude that just had a baby.
Exactly. And you're looking at all your whole rest of your duration.
Yeah, I already gave him my teenage years already.
Right. So now they say we want it all.
Yeah, basically, and they meant that. Now I was up there in IE in Victorville, man, where I bought my house, and they wasn't playing.
Right.
No, they call that Victorville.
Right. You was at the Fed joint in Victorville, right?
Nah, I was going to court. I was going to court up there. I was just in that county jail, and when I got my time, I went to the state.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're talking about, though. I wasn't up there, though.
Right. Yeah, my homeboy was in Victorville. He did like 21 years.
Yeah. I know exactly where that's at. It's like a little Fed, little camp, little.
Right, yeah, he spent the last 8 years, but he did a total of 21 years in the Fed joint.
Two decades, that's crazy. People don't believe me now,
yeah.
I love it, because now I got to convince people that I've been in jail, because I know how to turn it off.
Exactly. You know how to do what's right for you now.
yeah, you know, before it was, you know, that was my thing. You know, I've been in jail, I got 13 years in, and, you know, now it's like, man, I don't like talking about that, man.
No, because that ain't helping you.
No, not at all. Now, not my walking in book buyers and superintendent's offices. No, they don't care about none of that.
No, you know what I mean? They just care about you in that cage, and that's that. And once again, we definitely hope the youths and everybody's paying attention to this, because a lot of times, you know, it's so very easy to get in that cage when the judge hit the hammer and say 20 or 100-some years, but it takes you forever and a day to get up out of there. You feel me? So
it's almost
be careful with the moves
yeah.
you make. Right.
Yeah,
so be careful with the moves you make out of here.
Yeah.
Well, and like you always say, Boyd, you know, you're lucky if you do come out, because a lot of people get killed in there. They don't come out.
Oh yeah, that's a whole nother.
Right.
That's another show in
right.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your man was
yeah.
up in the same place with you. He angry because he got a dear John letter. Next thing you know, you stuck all up. So you know, it's like you forever walking on pins and needles in the game. Even if you know, a thoroughbred cat, you know what I mean? You're still walking always on pins and needles because you never know when Johnny or Joe ready to go off on the rock, and you just sit
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
all it takes
is his visit not coming, or him getting that phone call talking about she ain't doing it no more.
Right.
You
right.
know, that's enough.
Yeah, it's
then I don't like you.
Thing that
was the reason. Right, that's the
right.
reason and the excuse now.
Yes, sir, you know. So
I
want to
get at you
good,
anyway.
So.
Now I got the ultimate, you know, the go-ahead.
Reason. Right, I got the reason now. I'm upset. That's my reason. I'm upset.
Right.
So because I'm upset, it gives me a right to take your life, you know what I mean? And that's the excuse a man used. But if you're doing a life sentence or a 30-year sentence, you don't even care about that because you ain't going nowhere no way. So you have to be so, so careful and... that's what I want these youngsters to understand, too. You know, it's like, you know, judge hit the hammer, like I said, you definitely on your way. But it's never no guarantee you stepping up out of there alive, because anything can happen. And I call that the terror zone, you know what I mean?
I know some real ones, bro. I know some real ones, homie. I know I got a brother, man, that's Muslim cat. Didn't gangbang.
Right.
Mind his own business. He had two strikes. But they only gave him 5 years. They was going to let him go. Crip want to press
right.
him. He go in a cell and fight the Crip. Crip bump his head on the sink and die.
Wow.
That's what got life. He got life in prison.
Yeah.
He doing life for a murder. For a cell fight.
Right. And you went in there for a few years. Now you got all day.
Yeah. For a fist fight. That's what I mean. So
it's
ain't no guarantee. You said it right. Ain't no guarantee you coming home. You know?
No. Because
right.
you know, I got three brothers, man, doing life in Michigan prisons and three different prisons, you know, and I got one brother just came home last year. He did 17 years, and after that, he came home 3 months later and got caught up in a drive-by shooting and what he meant for him. So, you know, believe me, you know, I know the blows of all of that, and I just not met my brother. You feel me? I didn't even know he existed until my father was passing, you know, so, yeah, that's a deep.
Yeah, man, that's why, I mean, I don't want to sound cheesy when I say count your blessings and live every day like it's your last, but that's the truth.
Yeah. And that's not cheesy. That's the truth, you know, and if everybody could realize that, there would be, you know, so much more happiness in the world, I think. People would be more focused on doing something positive and making a change for themselves, and then in turn it would, you know, kind of snowball.
Yeah, I mean, the world is selfish. You know, the world is selfish, and I was a part of that selfishness. That's why that's what I tell people. I help break it. That's why I'm trying so hard to help fix it.
Amen. You know,
man, I help break it, bro, especially in Compton. You know, so that's why I get out here when people ask me to come speak at something. If it got something to do with the kids, I don't charge. I just show up.
Right, my
right.
man. So let us know about the movie. Let's talk
fine,
about
good.
That a little bit.
Yeah, what's happening?
Talk about the movie. Let's get into that. How did that come about? And, you know, let them know where they can get the book at. And how did all that greatness come about where you got it's going to be right in their face, you know?
Like, this was name of the book is Just Like Compton, and Just Like Compton is probably my greatest accident. What happened is I was sitting in Corcoran Shoe. I got me and a homie rushed the police. We got into it with the correctional officers, and they thought we was going to back down. We didn't. And we ended up going to the hole. From the hole, we went to the Shoe. The Shoe, you know, segregated housing unit, that's where you don't, no movement.
You right, know, bottom line.
Like Denzel said, 23-1, Shoe program. Yeah, that's where I was at.
Right.
Charles Manson was two doors down from me. I'll put it to you like that.
Right.
Yeah, for real. Oh, Chuck was two doors down.
Without a doubt, yeah, Chuck's been laying low for a long time.
Yeah, he's Corcoran, man. 4B2 right.
Chuck just for the life.
There was no books about Compton. All the urban novels that we had been reading were about New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Philly, nothing about us, by somebody that did.
Right.
So I said, you know, I've never been a crybaby. You know what I'm saying? I've been a doer since I was a kid, since I ain't had no choice. So I said, you know what, let me do something about it. So I wrote the book. I got out 2010. I forgot even about the book. So when you go to the Shoe, you got to send all your stuff home. So the book was just sitting in my brother's garage. He was just sitting in Junior's garage, and I didn't even mess with it. Came home, couldn't get a job. You know, was trying hard, trying to get a job, couldn't get a job. So I said, you know what, let me mess with this book. And I'll text you up. First 30 days the book came out, I was in 5 newspapers.
Mom.
It's never been done. I was in 5 newspapers the first 30 days the book came out.
Mom,
people
man.
Were absolutely blown away, not by me, but by the not by the book, but by me and my story. That irritated me. So I'm like, read the book. I know you think, okay,
right.
local boy makes good and change. Okay, that's fine, but read the book. So finally,
right.
People started reading the book.
From.
Right. Amazon picked the book up. Books started doing real well, then Barnes & Noble put it on their site, and things snowballed from there. Now the book is a college textbook at Loyola Marymount and Compton College. Required college text, not an option. You know, you can't take Sociology 104 or Women's Studies or Ethnic Studies without buying Just Like Compton. It is the textbook. Dr. Vanessa Haynes, Dr. Moore, Dr. Lyles, and Ikowepa Bunting. They're all using the book as a required text.
My man.
The book is also an LA County Library book. That happened in 2011, you know, which is rare for my type of book, but they felt the need, you know, they saw the importance in the message, so they decided to do that. The movie, everybody kept saying, oh, it's like a movie. It's so descriptive. It's so detailed. So Dr. Bunting, who's also the director of the Zanzibar International Film Festival, said, well, I think we should make this into a movie. And I'm like, well, you know what? That costs, and I ain't got it. So he was like, well, don't worry about that. Let's put the crew together and get it done. And if we get it done in time, I'll show it at the third largest film festival in the world, which is Zanzibar in Tanzania, Africa. So I said, all right, let's try to pull it off. Long story short, we pulled it off. You know, me being a doer, me being aggressive, me being surrounded with the greatest team in the world. I'll shout them out in a minute. We got the trailer done, and with God's grace, I shipped it off to Africa to a standing ovation. Now, mind you, this is just the trailer. This isn't even the movie. Then we screened it at the prestigious USC Mark Taper Hall in the United States. So when we screened it here, we screened it at USC to, again, a sellout crowd.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I said, you know, my dreams are becoming a reality. I'm blessed, I'm lucky, and I work hard.
Yeah, it is. That's the two main goals, and staying focused and reaching the touchdown line, what you said.
Yeah, so now sky's the limit, you know, and that's what I'm trying to tell these boys. I mean, people take it the wrong way, but I said that at the event. I said again, I'm out to save little black boys. You know, that's my thing. I'm not a racist. I love everybody. I want to save all boys, but I got to fix mine first.
My man.
So that's what I'm out to say. You know, I love to see these little boys with these skinny pants and these skateboards and these bikes. I love to see that because they don't have a chance. Ain't nobody going to give them a gun. You know what I'm saying? You laugh at how he dressed, but guess what? He ain't going to jail.
bottom line.
You know, okay.
And can't nobody knock you for how you feel, no way. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why it's the greatest country in America, because it's America, and you got a right of speech. You know what I mean? So you're not saying nothing wrong, because that's the lifestyle you grew up in, the lifestyle I grew up in, you know what I'm saying? Because I grew up in Detroit, and when me and my wife, we always talk, and we keep it on the one with each other, you know. I didn't grow up around, you know, white people, but I didn't hate white people or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? I've seen my own kind messing up day in and day out, you feel me? Because I wasn't in the suburb neighborhood to see that. I've seen that from afar on TV.
I'm going to say it like my pastor told me, bro.
Side.
My pastor told me I'm not sending no money to Africa when this kid's starving in Compton.
Amen.
Right.
So that's my attitude. You know, I'm going to save right here. Then we'll branch out and go do other stuff. But right now, I got to fix it.
Let's take care of home. Let's take care of backyard first.
Yeah, how you going to send some money to Africa and this kid's starving on Rosecrans and Wilmington?
Exactly.
Right. And that's a good point.
Starving and need clothes and need mentors and, I mean, just everywhere.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that's what's wrong. I mean, United States is great. I love it. I wouldn't want to live nowhere else. But we got issues. We always in somebody else's backyard. Clean up downtown L.A. before you go messing with Pakistan. Clean up downtown L.A.
Exactly.
You know, build something to put them single moms in it and let them live.
Okay.
Then you have less prostitutes, and them prostitutes won't have those kids that end up being little T-bone.
That's right.
Right, all day.
Man, come on, man. Start at A before you get the Z. Start at A before you get the Z. That's what's wrong.
Right.
You know,
and I'm glad
Obama. I don't blame nobody. We just got our views are misconstrued.
Right.
You know?
And we just
clean
all need to
house.
Help and give back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To educate
house.
And
clean
up. Yeah.
House.
My man. Very good point, young man, for sure, because that's the bottom line. You know, if you clean up America and what's happening here, folks, you ain't got time to worry about what's happening across the river, because everybody don't want change. Everybody don't want to live like the American people live, and that's
not
something to improve.
Not just change, boy, but they don't want your change. They want their own change.
My man,
you know,
bottom
they
line, because they country.
Yeah,
right, their country is their own country.
Yeah,
my
man,
that's a good point,
they
man.
They had a problem in Libya. Let Libyans fix it. You know,
don't
go there and kill Gaddafi and all that. Come on, man.
Right, but that's their thing. That's their problem. That's their world. Because that's how they live. That's how they grew up.
Right, that man been in power 40 years. Leave him alone.
Right, but they didn't do that.
Right.
They didn't want to leave him alone. They wanted to show that they had strength.
No, why did... Because there's oil over there.
Right.
He was a Pan-Africanist. They went to Darfur. They went to Darfur.
Right.
Why? It's oil in Darfur. You know what I'm saying?
They
ain't no rush
to
go out there. Yeah, ain't no oil in Haiti, so they didn't rush to go over there.
Right, at all. So America always want to show strength, but you have to show strength, like you said, in your own country, in your own backyard, because to me personally, we can keep saying we're the greatest country in the world and this, that, and the other, but it shouldn't be no homeless nowhere in America, period.
How is it we can build 33 prisons in California alone, but we can't build no apartment complex for no single mom? How's that?
Bottom line.
And
well,
it ain't gonna cost.
They're closing schools instead of building schools for education.
Exactly.
They're building more prisons. And so kids that don't get educated are going to end up in the prison system.
Man, they say by third grade they know how many more prisons they're going to need.
Wow.
Just by kids, urban kids, third grade reading level, they know how many more prisons they're going to need to build.
They don't need to build any. They need to build more schools, more things for the kids to do and get educated and have them busy doing other things than being out in the street selling drugs and gangbanging and...
That's what they don't understand. And I ain't talking about California. I'm talking about period. The way to keep a
Everywhere.
Kid out of way to keep a kid out of jail, and listen to me very carefully, is always have that kid on his way somewhere.
Right.
Gotta go to practice. Gotta go to spelling bee. Gotta go to the library. He ain't gonna have no time to be messing up.
Right.
He always on his way somewhere. But the minute that kid has some idle time, it's gonna be ugly. That kid gonna be
every time.
Right, that kid gonna be me.
Every trip.
Right.
Yeah, man. People don't get that. They wanna cut this and cut that. That's fine. That's fine. Build some more prisons. When it's your mama getting robbed at the 7-Eleven, then you're gonna have a problem with it.
Every day, all day.
Yeah, he's not trying to rob your mama because he hate her. He's hungry.
Right. Bottom line, and you ain't gave him no option.
Yeah, he hungry. That baby at home needs diapers.
Won't let him work.
Yeah.
You won't even give him a chance to go to work. So you put
right.
him in the same cycle again of survival, and the average guy who grew up in the hood, that's what he resolved to if he didn't go to school to get no bachelor's degree or no master's degree. He resolved
to. And I wonder why recidivism is at 80%. That's why.
Right.
I came home. I got an AA degree. I'm extremely intelligent. And I got jobs till my background check came back.
Right.
You know?
I
applied at Compton Unified School District, got the job, took my little TB test and all that. I was going to start work Monday. That Sunday, my background check came back. We regret to inform you, Mr. Gully, that we won't be allowed to hire you. Because, I mean, I did that when I was a kid. Are you serious?
Right.
So you're not judging me for the man I am now. You're judging me for the kid I used to be. Okay, that's fine.
Yep.
So if I go pick up a pistol, then you're going to be pissed off.
Right, because
mm-hmm.
we didn't teach you right.
Right.
That's what they're going to say, we didn't teach you enough. But you didn't teach me at all because you didn't let me get educated like I was trying to get to come out here to do something right. So when you try to stop educating anybody, you know, they resort back to what they know. And that's the majority of the time is criminal activity.
And that's all it is, man. These ain't no bad kids. These ain't no career criminals. They hungry. He not
right.
trying to sell no 500 pounds of weed. He's trying to sell a quarter pound of weed so he can buy his kids some food and some socks. It's going to get cold. I need a coat.
Bottom line.
I'm not going to stop you from buying, letting my baby get a coat. I'm not, and make no mistake about it, I'm not promoting crime. I'm not promoting wrongdoing. I'm just saying this is the actual facts.
Right.
I know people that are in the street.
World.
Yeah. I know people that's in the street. Not by choice. Some people go out there by choice. I know a lot of people that ain't out there like that. They're like, man, what am I supposed to do? Oil refinery ain't hiring right now. You know, oil refinery ain't hiring right now. I can't even get a McDonald's job. Now people used to, like, reject McDonald's job. Now McDonald's want to do an extensive background check, 10 years. Come on, dude. Are you serious? I've been out 9. That's not good enough?
That's right. You say McDonald's doing that now.
Yeah. No?
Oh, man, are you serious with that?
10-year background check.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I didn't even mean to say that, but McDonald's flipping a hamburger? What you going to do?
Yeah.
Kill all the hamburgers?
And then when I come in there and rob it, y'all going to be mad.
You know, upset to the core.
Yeah, I'm the same dude that came in here and sat through this interview and all that, and then, you know, now look. You know, that's
now
my
you
hunger.
Got me
didn't stop. My hunger didn't stop. Yeah, my hunger didn't stop. And then the judge gave me 8 years and doubled it to 16, and I got to do 80% of that for sticking up McDonald's for $86. Because all I got was the first register.
Right.
Come on now.
And only
Come
thing
on,
I wanted was a job. All I wanted was a job.
That's it. That's it. I don't want nothing else. I mean, I'm trying to do right. John ain't helping me. I ain't saying give me nothing.
But let
when
me
I came
work
home,
for
I didn't
it.
Ask nobody. When I came home, boy, I didn't ask nobody for nothing. All I said was, do y'all know somebody that's hiring? That's all I asked.
My man. Right.
That's it.
You wasn't asking for nothing else but a chance.
I don't want nothing else. Don't give me nothing. I'll figure it out. You know, so God bless
Bottom
me with
line.
This book and things have taken off. And now, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to help.
My man.
If you want, I want what I want to do now is just play the song here from your trailer. Just like Compton, and then come back and talk a little bit more about your book, some of the things that maybe you wrote about in your book, and then also a little bit more about the movie.
Okay, cool, incredible.
Okay,
I love it.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Compton City, the land of the negative, the home of the ruthless, the gangster rap movement. Easy do it, I'ma do it like easy. Nigga with an attitude, me and Young Greedy, the West Coast. Is the Mecca, the
That's
yeah,
the
that
beginning
was
of the trailer. Yeah.
That was Compton City by Big Face 100, man. Shout out to my boy. He was in the movie trailer, too.
My man, we appreciate that, you know.
So tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of the stories maybe that's in your book. We know that one of our good friends, the real Freeway Rick Ross, is going to be in or is in your movie. So tell us a little bit about how you got all that together.
I met Rick Ross, the real Rick Ross, not the fat liar. I met Rick Ross at a ceasefire meeting for the A-Trays and the Hoops. That was at it real bad, so they asked everybody to come out. They had a little influence. I met him at the Project Cry No More, Vicki Lindsay's organization. They had a ceasefire meeting. And I went there, and I sat through it, and sat down. I got lucky to be at the table with him. And we talked about, you know, a few things what I was trying to do. I talked about the book, and he was like, you know what, young man, just tell me how I can help you. And true to his word, you know, he did what he said he was going to do. He came, he showed up, you know, he got in front of the camera, he got in the makeup chair, and, you know, trying to make history.
That's right.
My man. Yeah, so we definitely want to give a shout-out to our homeboy Freeway. Me and my missus, you know, when Freeway got out in 2009, you know, I took out to Cali to meet him in person. And he did his interview on our Change Reality show. He was the first guest on our show when we kicked it off in 2009. So we just want to give Real Freeway a big shout out, and I want to give his missus, his kids, his whole family, and much love, and it's all good, you know. So
yeah,
it's all real.
The movie got a lot of people in it, man. The movie got Face. Big Face, that's the game. That's his big brother.
Okay,
my man.
Yeah. I went to junior high with that dude. You know, so he's been knowing me since I was a kid. Like you said at the event, you know, we've been childhood friends, like literally from the playground. You know, so him. Then we got BG Knockout, Compton rapper, good dude. That was Eazy-E's protege. You know, before Eazy passed. So we got him in the trailer. Then we got Lil Eazy-E's son, Lil Eric. You know, dude is just like his dad. He got him in the trailer. If you saw the trailer, that's them sitting in that orange lowrider.
Right. I saw that.
Right. So, you know, city got behind me. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by the city got behind me. I went up to Compton College, and I asked the athletic director, Lefty Ogun. I asked him, I said, hey, man, you know, I'm shooting this movie trailer. You know, we're trying to get some clothes for the trailer. This man didn't know me. I told him what I was doing. I gave him my press kit. I told him about the book. And he was like, you know what, go back there and get whatever you want.
Wow.
Just like that. That man gave me, I ain't going to say the amount, but he gave me a whole lot of stuff.
That's awesome.
And the point of all that is this. If people want to help you, they'll find a way.
Right.
Don't take an excuse. Don't let somebody tell you, email me. That's all BS. If they want to help you,
right.
If they help you, really help you, they'll get involved, period.
Right.
Bottom line.
Some people need more motivation than others. You know, some people just believe from the gate, you know.
Right.
And Lefty was one of the ones that believed from the gate, you know. And now look at
bottom
him.
Bottom line.
You know, I just shot a $56,000 movie trailer.
Bottom line.
You know, on borrowed time and borrowed money.
Right.
Well, it's definitely going to pay off for you.
Oh, no,
yeah, you know,
and it's going to pay off for the city of Compton as well, because, you know, we have some good friends, for the, you know, like you said, Vicki Lindsay with Project Cry No More, Skip Townsend, Ken, you know, Big John, always Second Call. I mean, there's just so many people that have been working and struggling so hard to rebuild what was torn down, and this is just something positive that's going to help that city.
Yeah,
and
other cities
as well, not just Compton.
Yeah, if you look at it and you look at the trailer really carefully, I got real Crips, real Bloods, and real Southsiders.
Right.
All together. Worst enemies.
Bottom line.
Worst enemies. All together for the city, though. So a lot of people,
right.
You know, when I hear them, they say it can't be done, I laugh. You know, you don't know what I can pull off.
Right.
You know who I was in jail with that has some power that can say, you know what,
bottom
line. Today we're going to put our rags down. We're going to do this for the city.
Right.
Right. And
that's
the bottom
line.
It's about who you know. Yeah, it's about who you know. It ain't what you know. It's who you know, and then what you know pays off for you.
Look at it. I mean, it's on YouTube, and they got like something like 1,500 hits in a couple of days. I mean.
Yeah.
You know? It's one thing to fix your mouth to say something, but when you're doing it, you have a right to have a little bit of swag. I did it. You know, it's not like I'm on your show. I'm not on your show talking about, you know, I'm about to write this movie trailer. Then we go, I did it already.
Right.
Bottom line, it's a done deal.
Yeah, I screened it at USC. I just screened it at some little school in Gardena. I screened it at USC.
Bottom line.
Yeah, you had a lot of people there.
Hundreds of people showed up.
Right.
I mean, news, media, radio, all showed up. I mean, a lot of them are just there being nosy. Who the hell is this dude?
Right.
Who do you know at USC to get your movie trailer screened at USC? Not the film, not the feature.
Right.
Just the trailer. You know? That's what's going to blow away Sony and Miramax and TriStar when I walk in their offices. You know?
Well, there's a lot of people that don't believe in themselves enough to put their stuff out there. And, I mean, they're afraid to ask. You know, the worst that they can say is no, but a lot of people are afraid to even ask.
Yeah. Like I told the little guy that asked me the question at the event, I dream bigger than most people.
You have to.
I don't think outside the box. I put a piece of dynamite in the box.
Blew it up.
Yeah, I destroyed it. No more box for me.
Right.
Yeah, no more box for me.
No, it's just limitations.
Yeah, I mean, for what? You know, I wake up every morning and say, why not me? You know, right after I play, why not me? Tyler Perry did it.
Why not you?
And I'm way more interested than Tyler Perry because I've been through more. Okay, you slept in your car, but that, so what? Me too. Not knocking your story, I'm just saying there's more going on. You know, I'm, you know, it's like I said, I'm here to fix the system. My little piece, the little piece that I broke, that I put a hole in, I'm here to patch it up.
Right.
If I can make some money and make sure my kids are okay in the process, that's fine.
And like you said, it's all about healing the next generation of our youth, our leaders. You know, they need to know that they don't have to be out there in the streets selling drugs and gangbanging. You know, they need to be educated, and they need to, you know, there's people, there's mentors, there's a lot of people out here right now. You know, people, most of the people that are out here being mentors were into, you know, gangs and drugs and all of that back in the 80s and 90s, and now they've learned that, you know, like all of us, and we're mentors, educators, interventionalists now, and just trying to help the youngsters know that there's hope.
Yeah, my thing now is we need more people my age involved. Okay,
right.
we got brothers like Boyd and other brothers like the guy from Project Fatherhood. No, that's fine. Those are great, but the kids want to hear from me. They don't want to hear from Boyd. I wanted to hear from Boyd. But we sent the wrong person. You sent the priest. You should have sent Boyd to talk to me. I would have listened. But you didn't send Boyd. You sent the pastor. Now we make a mistake, and I talk to Vicky all the time about this. We're sending Boyd when we should be sending me.
Mm-hmm.
I come to Boyd for guidance and advice, but I need to be out there in the street because guess what? Boyd ain't doing a shooting, and neither am I. It's the guy under me. Boyd ain't shooting no guns, neither am I. Every time we go to these ceasefire meetings and conventions, it's the same people. Why ain't no youngsters in here? That's when you need to hear these messages. It's always the same people. I'm not going
to
drop no names, but come on, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
We have to have them real soldiers out there on the battlefield. And the bottom line is I feel exactly what you're saying because, you know, when you got the soldiers out there on the battlefield, they are definitely dialoguing with these youngsters out here. You know what I mean? And at the same time, you know, guys like you, you know, talking to guys like me, you know what I mean? And forefront the message all the way out there with what you've already been through as well. But we're sitting at the table dialoguing, how can we help this youngster, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm feeling all of that, young man.
You know what I'm saying? I don't mind the chain of command. That's one thing I learned about gangbanging. You know what I mean? You're going to mind somebody. So I don't mind coming aboard
and saying,
hey, boy, I got this issue, man, and I don't really know how to deal with it. You walk these streets before me, whether it be Detroit, Flint, or wherever it's at,
or whatever.
The struggle's the same.
Right.
So I can come to you for advice, and maybe I'll put my own spin on it when I give it to the kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
we done sit at the table.
Right. The information is realistic, you know, because it came from a source. You know, this ain't something somebody told you. You lived it.
Right. And now we have to iterate to these youngsters that you don't have to live this because I'm just up here by the grace of God, you know what I mean? Any other soldier is, you know. And it's a whole lot of soldiers that didn't make it up here to the place to say, hey, you can change your life around. You can do this because, you know, God put his people in play to truly carry out his message. And that's like just being his vessel, you know, and his soldier. So a lot of cats don't really understand that, but you made a true valid point, you know what I mean, tonight, you know. And I just want to give you a big ups on that, you know.
Yeah, man, I'm the boat rocker, man. I don't mind. You know, because I'm going to say what needs to be said. I ain't going to spread nobody's feelings. Or none of that. If it's going to help, then I'm going to say it. Or I'm going to do it.
Bottom line.
You know? I'm not just talking. You know what I'm saying? I met Rick Ross at a ceasefire meeting for two L.A. gangs. I'm from Compton.
Bottom line.
That ain't got nothing to do with me and what we're going through over here. But I went. Because
right.
it's bigger than Compton. It's bigger than me.
Right.
All day.
You know? Gangbang.
It's a global thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a global thing. It ain't just in Compton or Chicago or New York. It's global, you know, and we must fight the fight with a global fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's what I love about anybody who steps up to the plate to, you know, put it in there, you know what I mean, to put their piece in there, to make people understand, you know. And you can't lead a horse to the well and make him drink it, but you can give him the knowledge that what that water do if you drank it. So he lay it down, he accepted or rejected.
Yeah, you got a lot of paper tigers, you know. You gonna do a whole lot of armchair revolutionary stuff. You know, you gonna scream and yell from your couch. You ain't gonna get out here.
Right.
And I'm not saying put yourself in harm's way. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I'm big on safety, but at the same time, don't say you really with the movement if you're not.
Right.
Don't show up. Yeah, I mean, you never show up, but you with the movement. At least show up sometimes.
Right.
To let
name,
people
your name
know
always
that you're
knows
aware.
Something. Your name always knows something,
right.
But I didn't see you.
Exactly.
Right. But
you know?
I've seen you on Facebook posting
right.
up,
Talk
but
big.
I didn't see you.
Big.
Yeah, you wasn't here, though.
Yeah, Mao Zedong called them paper tigers, man. I really don't deal with paper tigers.
At all, man. You know what I mean? That's what you know, I love about life. You know what I mean? You can always, pull out the fake card or you can pull out the real card. I would just deal with the real card and don't even go into the other pile of life because that's
right.
a misunderstanding
right.
pile anyway. So it's a waste of time, voice, and energy.
Period, point blank.
Right. But we're definitely proud of you, young man, for, you know, really stepping up to the plate and doing what has to be done, you know. And you doing that because this is something you chose to do. You wasn't forced to do it.
The county ain't giving me no money to do this. I'm out here because
right.
it's the right thing to do, you know, because I make God
Bottom
a promise
line.
Keep my word. You know, that's it.
Bottom line.
Right, and it's going to pay off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, my ultimate goal is to be able to build this company and give all these kids jobs. You know, whether it be
right.
carrying speakers or learning how to be a line editor. I mean, I'm going to take away the excuses. Did nobody help me?
Right. Well,
right.
you know,
There's
I've been
no
watching
reason.
You since you got out of prison and since you know, you started posting on Facebook. I don't know how we became friends, but it was right after you got out of prison, I believe, in maybe 2011 or 2010. I'm not sure exactly
yeah,
when it was. But
I came home April 2010.
Yeah, and we've been watching. You know, I've been watching you, and I know we've chatted a couple times on Facebook, but, you know, you definitely, you know, got your book out there, and I was watching you do your book signings and different things, and I saw you going to different events, and, you know, you got involved, and you actually did what you set out to do, you know, and that's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm just trying not to be a paper tiger, Lucinda, that's all. I can't say one thing and then do something else, you know, like what
right.
A lot of people do, you know.
Right. So, and that's us. You know, there's always so many people that just, you know, we got your back, we're there to help you, we're, you know, but then when it comes down to
okay.
it, and it's time for them to help, they're gone.
I've dealt with so many of those people who send it that it's become normal to me.
Right.
You know, it's like, it doesn't even bother me. Like, when people tell me, I meet a guy and the guy says, I'm not going to say any names, but at the LA Back Book Expo last year, and the guy, I said, hi, Mr. Blah, 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 can I talk to you? He said, email me. I said, well, I don't have your email. He said, well, Google me. So I have to Google you to get your email, and you're standing in front of me.
Right. Just give me your email or your phone number. I mean, come on.
Right now. I'm standing right here. You're not that busy. I'm standing right here. Give me a card. You're a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Guess
write
what?
It down on a piece of paper. I mean, that's what, you know.
But guess what, Lucinda?
Yeah.
Now that same guy called me and said, you want to be one of the featured speakers at this year's expo? Now I'm one of the featured speakers this year. Same dude. same dude. Yeah, same guy you treated like crap. Now I'm one of the featured speakers at this year's expo, August 11th. You know, I'll get 45 minutes to act a damn fool.
Bottom line, in your own way.
Yeah. All positive. But come on, man. You know who I am. You remember me.
Exactly.
Right.
The same guy that you didn't want to talk to, but you sit on Facebook, watch my progress, and now you see that I'm doing my thing without an agent, without some big publishing company backing me. Now you want to talk to me? Okay, I'll play along. It's
right.
Good.
Right.
It's good for me.
Yeah. Back then
I'll play
you didn't
along.
Love me. Yeah.
Right.
Now I'm hot. You're all on me.
Right. Bottom line, boy, you ran right through it. Bottom line.
Right. And there's a lot of people like that. You know, they want to ride on your tail.
Yeah, so I'm going to enjoy it. You know, I'm building my brand. I'm not a book. I'm a company.
Right.
And that's what I tell my message. You know what I'm saying? When you started building the streets back in 2009, and, you know, my book came out, and the Child's H. Wright Afro-American History Museum and the rare book section hit the libraries all over and, you know, hit the White House and started doing a lot of good things. You know, I tell all the time, it's always going to people saying, oh, I knew you can do it. Well, if you knew I can do it, where was you at?
Exactly. And right now, boy, that's where I'm at in my life. Will Smith
yeah.
said it best. Will Smith said it best. If you wasn't present during my struggle, don't try to be here in my success. That's where I'm at.
Right.
Right.
I believe in you. You were always smart. You should have helped me type this.
Yeah, right.
You should have helped me type this. You should have helped me learn how to use Photoshop so I can do this cover. You should have had your boyfriend who's a photographer take a picture for me since you believe so much.
Right.
I didn't see you post not one thing of Boyd and Lucinda, so how did you believe so much?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you did all that, you feel me?
Now I got all these cousins and stuff come out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody
where was you at when I was doing that eight?
Everybody.
Where was you at when I was doing that eight? When I needed soap and deodorant and toothpaste. And noodles when we went on lockdown, where were you then? What you do?
You knew I was on my way.
You
knew I was on my way. I just didn't know where you was at.
Right.
You knew I was on
my way. I didn't know where you were. There's a thing called MA Locator. I find my homies all the time. I don't want to hear that. Well, I saw your sister, but she wouldn't give me your address. You should have found me.
All of that. You know all that come to play, man.
Now all of a sudden. You love me. If you don't get your ass out of
here. Yeah, that's what I be laughing all the time, man, because, you know, I tell the missus, don't believe the hype when people run that at you, because as far as I know, me and you the only one was up all night long posting shit and starting stuff, so where they do that at? Where did they come
love
at?
Love is a verb. I don't know about nobody else, but for me, love is a verb. A verb. It's an action word.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
don't. You love me, man. I'm not saying write me every week. I'm not saying send me no money. But if you call me and tell me, I mean, let me call you and say how you doing, what's going on. That's all I need. You don't know how much that's going to get to me. That's going to help me make it through the day. You don't know that. I'll get that letter. I'll read that letter for a year. I'll read that letter for a year.
Exactly.
Because it's in my spot.
Take time out your day to sit down and write me. That's why I do it. That's why I go to CVS and print out all these damn pictures and all that, because I know what it means.
Right.
Right. Ain't no mystery. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
and that's why we send our newsletter out every month, because we know exactly what that means to people. And we started out with just a few prisons. Now we're in 50 prisons across the country, fair in the state.
Exactly.
Definitely.
You
know? And you will be in our July newsletter. We're going to put your all your info in there, your picture and everything, and that will go out. It does not only go out to prisons, but it goes out to a lot of different people. It goes to the White House every month and a lot of different people. But, you know, just like you said, though, that one positive word or that one phone call, I mean, you don't have to send me money when I'm in prison. You don't have to do any of that. But, you know, send me a letter once in a while, just, you know, say, hi, how you doing, whatever. Goes back to the same thing with these young teenagers. A lot of times, just that positive word will be life-changing for them. Something that, you know, oh, you can do it. You know, you're good at this. You're good at that. You know, because if somebody positive doesn't do it, like you said, T-Bone's there to do it.
A lot of time, I don't write no long letter. I put, hold your head up. You ain't missing nothing out here. Here goes some pictures. But you don't understand when that mailman, when that cop stops at your door and say, Gully, and you say your last two and he give you that letter.
Just to hear your name that you got mail. It's probably something great.
People don't get that. People don't get that.
Right.
Or the empty feeling when he walks by your door. Now imagine him walking by. Imagine him walking by your door for 8 months.
Right.
People don't get that. So that's why I'm the way I am. I'm not mean. I'm not none of that. I did this on my own with nobody's help. Outside
right.
of my team.
That's the same with us.
Yeah. So excuse me if we enjoy this. You know, if I don't take
right.
your call. Sorry, I mean, when I called you, you pushed, don't accept. You pushed 7.
Right.
When
right.
I was calling you from prison, now all of a sudden you want to talk, man, kiss my whole ass.
Right.
No, I don't want to talk to you for what?
Exactly.
Oh, don't
where
be
were
like
you
that.
When
don't
they
be like
to,
that.
Or where were you? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm getting that all the time. I'm getting that, or you think you this. No, you think I'm that.
Right.
You think I'm that. I'm blessed. Don't be mad because I'm blessed and you not. Go to church.
Right. And you're blessed, though, but you made it happen. You took the initiative to take the time. I mean, writing a book is not an easy thing to do. You have to sit down. You have to, you know, it's a lot of writing. It's a lot of editing. It's a lot of work. It really is.
86,000 words.
And you sat down and you did it.
86,000 words.
Exactly.
Handwritten.
And so you put
first,
in the
before
work.
Before I typed it, handwritten, 86,000 words.
Wow.
Then I turned around and I had to retype it. That ain't counting periods and commas
exactly.
and quotes and all.
Exactly.
Just words. 86,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm blessed, but I work hard. You know, and that's the bottom line. And
exactly.
now it's paying off.
And that's why you're blessed, because you do work hard and you haven't given up. That's what makes you blessed. Because you could have not done anything. And then
oh, no, I
could have
went and got a gun. I'm good at that.
Exactly.
I could have went and got a gun and went back and did what I know how to do. You know, I could have went in Wells
exactly.
Fargo and did what I'm used to. But
right.
I say, you know what? I'm different. I want to take a moment, if it's okay for you guys, to shout out my team, because they did a really, really incredible job in
oh,
everything
sure.
that they do. So, Breon Ross, that's my marketing person. Monica Ellis, that's the publicist. Pumayo, director of everything that I don't want to do. Avi Bernard, he's the cover model and the spokesperson for Just By Compton. He's the face of my entire movie. He played me in the movie. Kim Ross. At USC, she did an incredible job. Kena Rusin, that's my graphic artist. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
Right.
You know, people that are loyal to me. We are a ragtag group of bandits, but we're getting it done.
That's awesome. And tell me a little bit more about your book and what you want people to get out of your book and your movie. But let's talk about the book a little bit more, about, you know, what do you want your readers to get out of it?
The book is No Holds Barred, Condom Off Truth. And I say it like that because that's how graphic it is. You know, if you want to know about what really goes on out here, gloves off, then Just Like Compton is the book for you. And the redemptive value that's in the book, I just found it. Before, people say, well, what should I get out of the book? And I'd be like, what do you get out of going to watch Terminator? Nothing. You get entertained. That's it.
Right.
You go see robots and explosions, but with a little more thought and a little more depth in thought, the story is this.
Right.
No matter how your life began, you can change the middle and the end of your life.
That's right.
And then I can say, look at me.
The true testament.
Yeah. You know?
And that's the bottom line.
The book's entertaining. It's great. It's detailed. It's descriptive. It takes you there. But when the lights are off and the doors are closed, I can say, you can change. Look at me.
Exactly. Anybody can change. You just have to have that will. And like
right.
you said, some people have to hit rock bottom before they see that they do need
to
change.
I had to. I was under rock bottom. I don't know how to describe that, but that's where I was at.
You're hiding under the rock?
I was under that. I was under that. Until I finally, I got tired. And I found Christ, and my life improved. I don't take the credit for that. I give God the glory and the credit for that. He just gave me the drive and do the work. He just gave me the drive and do the work. So I'm doing it.
Okay.
So,
Kevon, what can you tell the young teenagers out there in all cities across the country that think that going to prison is cool and they want to get there to, get another star on their belt or whatever? What can you tell the youth about that?
Prison is lonely. Prison is lonely. I mean, you will see who loves you when you go to prison. And that goes for baby mama to grandma. People will leave you to die. That is the truth. People will actually leave you to die. When I say to die, I mean literally.
It's like out of sight, out of mind.
That's exactly what it is. But it's worse than that.
Because
once you get there, you have to adjust.
Bottom line, and sometimes that's a hard adjustment.
Yeah, especially when you go somewhere when it's 200 of them and 9 of y'all.
Right, all day.
Right.
I mean, and that's just realistic. You go places where you outnumber from the gate. And I don't mean colors. I mean race. I mean gang. I mean gang within the gang. I mean all that, police, whatever. It depends on where you go. But the bottom
line
is,
whole 9 yards.
Yeah, jail ain't cool. Jail don't make you cool. Jail make you stupid.
Bottom line.
Any kid that listens to me right now, you stupid if you go to jail. That'll show how tough you are.
No.
I'm not saying. Look, my son 18. I tell my son, don't hit first, but hit hard.
Right.
You don't got to go out and be tough and be no gangster and all that. A man and a gangster is two different things.
Right.
Once you learn how to...
Gangsters take family. They don't worry about no materialistic thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. You can be a gangster. Gangsters die and go to jail if that's your thing.
Right.
But men stay home and take care of what they need to take care of.
Right.
No, I just had a baby. My daughter almost 2, but I'm not going back to jail. That'd be the baby that I raised. I'm raising a Harvard grad.
Bottom
right.
line.
And I can't do that sitting in Corcoran or Folsom or Pleasant Valley or Carmel Valley.
No.
And if you don't,
it's
going to
be a long fight.
But for those of you young dudes that think it's cool, if you don't raise your son, he will.
Right.
Exactly.
In the streets to raise somebody real quick.
Right. And don't be mad, because you made a choice. Okay, first time, okay, you was young and you were stupid. Okay, I get you that. After that, you're a grown ass man. So if you do something else stupid, that's on you. Accept it. Man up. Say, you know what? I did that. And accept the consequences, whatever they are. Whether it be born with 80 or 300, accept that.
Right.
That's the harsh reality. That's what somebody ain't gonna tell you. I'm telling you.
Whatever happened to your mom? Did she get out of drugs?
She died. No, both my parents died while I was in prison. I got two phone calls. I was on a basketball court one time, and they were like, they called me in the PA system. Gully, report to the chaplain's office. When they tell you report to the chaplain's office, you already know somebody dead. You just don't know who.
Right.
So I went.
Yeah.
Bible's open, phone sitting on the counter. I pick it up. It's my aunt. Oh, he's dead. What about him? Oh, he's dead. What? That's the first time. Second time, my mom. My son's mom, Dylan's mom. Missy, Jaria, she calls me. I call her, she's, I'm coming to see you. You never come and see me. Oh, yeah, I need to tell you something. You need to tell me what? I'll be up there Sunday. I go up there, Gully, you got to visit. I go to the little window, pick the phone up, and she's crying already. Okay. Somehow, I thought something's wrong with my baby. Nah, your mom, it's your mom. Your mom died. Really? Are you serious?
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, you know what? It happened.
Yeah. And they definitely don't let you out to go to the funerals either.
Oh, okay,
no. When you're locked up in there, you lose out on a lot.
Oh, no, not me. No, I'm a threat, so they say. Yeah. I'm a threat, but all my crimes are juvenile, but I'm a threat.
That's ridiculous.
Yep, so I buried both of my parents, man, when I was sitting in there. But that was all part of becoming this man that I am now, you know, the growth process.
My man, you know, and that's a good way of looking at it, you know what I'm saying? And once again, you know, I'm just, you know, thankful that you came on the show and spreaded your message to, like you said, help others and, you know, cleanse your own self inside and out, you know?
Man, bottom line is, man, y'all tagline, yeah. Don't love you back. If you believe the streets love you, you a fool.
Bottom line.
Tell you what, your homie love you so much, call him and ask him for some money. Just play with, just test him. Just test him. Call him and tell him you need $200 because your baby needs diapers or some clothes. See if he bring it to you, since he's your homie.
Right. We'll see if that take place at all.
Then guess what? Then see if you can do it again a couple months after that. If that's your homie, if he love you like you say he do, he going to make sure you're
right.
All right. And don't call the one that got the money. Don't call the one that got the money. Call the one that you always around.
Right.
You know, we all got homies that got money. That ain't nothing. You know, he give you $200, no problem. He don't want to hang. That's the same one that don't want to hang out with you, though, because you're a damn idiot.
Right.
Yeah, call the one that's in your crew. That y'all always together, sitting on the corner smoking weed and selling y'all little rocks. Call
the
him.
The one that says he always got your back.
Yeah, I got you, homie.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, call him.
Right. He won't even answer the phone because he's
right.
Busy.
Call him 3 in the morning and tell him you're stuck in Pasadena, you need a ride home. See if he come get you.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, we got the fictitious things out here. And once again, give them that website again where they can go view that trailer and the websites where they can go order that book at.
Okay, you can go to Amazon.com to order the book, or you can go to BarnesandNoble.com to order the book. To see the movie trailer, you can go to YouTube, and it's under official Just Like Compton movie trailer. And to see the event, it's Just Like Compton movie trailer screening by Fist Tide Productions. So, yeah, Soleil Publishing is my publishing company, and Red Handed Films is a film company. Shout out to my team again. You know, I'm nothing without y'all. I always say we form like Voltron, you know, and so we're going to continue to do that, and sky's the limit. Thank you guys for having me.
That's right.
Hey,
now, when will this movie be out?
When Sony gives me $30 million.
So
we'll start marketing the trailer and the movie and all that stuff once we get the Zanzibar catalog. So I want to walk in their office and, you know, I want to have tangible proof that it was shown there. You know, you can fix your mouth to say anything.
Right.
You know, but when I open that catalog and show them that we're on page 59, you know, it blows people away. Like, who is this guy? How'd you get Rick Ross and Eazy-E son all in the same place?
Right. Right. Well, we put your trailer up on our website as well, the streets don't love you back, .ning.com. And, you know, we'll be supporting you. Like I said, you'll be in our July newsletter. And, you know, you can always go back to our website to find your information, too. So,
Thank you, we're
here to support you, and we're really proud of your
accomplishments. Had a good time. You guys are personable. This was my first radio show where I got to be myself.
But it's all good.
That's awesome.
It's just the form.
Yeah, this is the platform, because we let everybody who's ever been on our show be themselves, and that's the greatest thing about it, you know. If you can't be yourself, then you're not comfortable doing what you're doing, you know.
Right. But I mean, I didn't have to edit my comments. I can get straight to it.
Right. There's no editing. You can't never edit life. The only thing you can do is edit a film, but you can never edit life. It has to roll like it rolls, because you can't never do a double take on that. You know what I mean? You can't rewind that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But a lot of people want you. You know, they want you to turn it down. But the streets don't need to hear it turned down. The streets, need to hear the truth.
Amen.
Unedited.
And that's why the streets don't love you back movement, because it's unedited. Because it ain't no man or woman in America can say they love them back. Period.
Right.
Nowhere on the planet.
No rehearsal. You know, you get one take.
Period.
Okay, I love it.
Hey, Kevon, you can always this link to this show here will be able to be archived 24/7 as well. So you can put it on your resume, and anybody can always go back and listen to it.
Thank you very much for the opportunity again.
Appreciate you.
My phone's about to die, you guys, so I'm gonna get out of here.
Okay.
We're about out.
When we get down to LA, we'll get up with you.
Oh yeah, give me a call. You guys got my number, so I mean, even if it's just us sitting down having lunch.
Sounds good.
My man. You have a good evening now, and stay blessed.
You too, sir. Lucinda, boy.
Thank you
guys
so much.
Keep up the work.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
You
too. All right, and we just want to remind everyone. To join the movement at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, or you can Google us at just the streets don't love you back, and you'll find tons of stuff about us. Join us every Wednesday night right here live on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And Boyd, do you have some announcements?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I would appreciate everybody, and also log on to Men and Mrs. website and get them two books, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman. Also, log on and check out our store page on there and see all the things we got going, and just continue to support us, and we'll continue supporting these youths and others out here as being educated, you know, because education is something nobody can take away from you. So that's what me and my missus is all about, you know. But definitely keep in tune and stay updated, and also log on and buy some of that music as well. That's all on our movement page as well. And just get involved with all the things we got going on. And my missus' book will be out soon. She's back at work on that. So we just want to let everybody know we'll start promoting the missus' book real soon when she give me the green light, you know, and we will start getting that in your face soon.
That's right. And we just want to give a shout-out tonight to Deontay Love. He's the host of our show, the Keep It Real show in Cincinnati. Tomorrow's his 35th birthday, so happy birthday, Deontay. And keep up the great work. We're really happy with all that you do for us and as the host of our show. So thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely. We wanted to give him a big, big shout-out, you know, because my man be on his job. So happy birthday again, and we thank you once again for all what you do. And it was great seeing you today, and it was great doing the interviews with you, and look forward to, you know, doing some more, you know, and we're going to keep up the good work, and God bless.
All right, and we're going to go out tonight with a song by RB and Struggle. You played yourself. Thank you for joining us. Join us again live next Wednesday night right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And join us 24/7 on our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. Thank you, and have a great week.
Yeah. This is B.O.Y.D. and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit off Van Eyck and Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys in Cincy that's always kept it real. And to your player haters, this goes out to you.
No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, Greg is knocking you out like Robert Tussin does it go. Made you pull up with this northern exposure. Smoking Doja, and I'm coming on the real.
Yes, the real, I thought I told you. And I'm keeping it to your bedroom just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Party, you better not run up. Because you put your faith and your plans into another man's head. That move is bogus. Struggle's here to let you know this. That you never ever be a part of the dope. Who put your faith in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot? Who made it live when it was weak? Now you can't even speak. It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break necks. You wanted out for family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls that wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool? You played yourself. Wait a minute, you played yourself. Because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. You tried to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So how's your health? Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game. Cause everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain. About to shake the ground for all you backstabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Break it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm bringing it back up in you. Do dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career's finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute. You played yourself. Because you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict on the backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, it ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. The truth from my face, but you have been acting kind of shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb, fly away like a bird. Partner, you need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate. Play a hate, get it straight. Partner, you played yourself. No, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling I'll be. Your negativity be struggling against my surface. Cause the things that I did for you, your ass didn't deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Bat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should to mess with you, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, sick as flu with those. Known to turn your body black and blue, I told you, why did you test it? I'm the one who put you on, see if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or wrong cheek. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for, you a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga roll. You played yourself. No, I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, partner, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself. Cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me in this game, player? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should've kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should've understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see you. Boys up north, baby.